want us to continue to pray for Nigeria. Don't stop praying. We were talking last night before we went to bed about Nigeria again. I mean, you can't stop talking. You just have to remember to pray anyway. And I said that in any country that is going to be fairly in order, the police must be well disciplined. If you can bribe the police, you can get away with most anything. Any country. And I was saying that in the United States, you must be very sick to try to bribe a police officer. You must be very sick. Because that will be another offense. You try to give him money. Say, sir, you are under arrest, attempting to bribe a police officer. You will go. A few years ago, I shared with you briefly the time that my van was stolen. We were processing police paperwork. I came back to Ilorin, got the documents, went back to Lagos. By the time that I got to Lagos, the police officer who took the initial records had been transferred to the old toll gate, Lagos End. So we were told, well, the officer who took your report has been transferred to the old toll gate. So go there and tell him to come. And I thought, what if the man had died? What are records for? He took the records. But this is Nigeria. It's not just the police. Go to any ministry and say somebody's on leave. That's it. Somebody went out. That's it. It's a very frustrating system. But the point is this. We now went to the old toll gate and the man was there and we told him. And he said, okay. Then he went to his boss to take permission. And just what I said was what his boss said. The boss said, what if you have been transferred to Maiduguri? Will they come and get you at Maiduguri to come and finish the work that you were doing before you were transferred? Once you are transferred, you are transferred. I mean, that is what it should be. But then the thing is this. His boss now said, because the man gave you 20 naira, you want to leave your work and go with him. Go. Now, the thing is this. I told my cousin who went with me, I said, so, this man knows that with ordinary 20 naira, you can move a police officer. Are you with me? I said, so, he knows that with 20 naira, you can get a police officer to go and do something, even which is not. You can give him 20 naira and say, please arrest that man for me. And we go and arrest. Please continue to pray for this country. Like I say, when you pray, don't tell God anything. Just tell God to come and do his work. And let his own kingdom come. His own administration. Because there are too many things. We want God to do it according to his own perfect will. Glorify yourself here. That's all. We need help. There is bondage. Hallelujah. Amen. Our Father, we go into your word again today. We want to share again from your word. I'm still on a subject where you certainly do not want us to get caught. Fear. Holy Spirit, we want to go home with the riches of the things of the Spirit of God. Amen. Father, let it be so in Jesus' name. Amen. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's give Jesus a clap offering. Hallelujah. The Lord is so beautiful. You know, I told the people at home yesterday night when we were talking, I said the police in the United States, they do their job. Anybody knows they do their job. You follow me? If you call them and you say there is somebody in my house who is holding a gun who wants to shoot me, they will come as if they cannot die. Do you follow me? They will come. It's quite a sacrifice. And the gunman may shoot the first one of them and shoot the second one of them, you know? But they will do the job to protect you. So I admire them for the sense of duty. But I told them, even in the United States, there is still a problem with the police. Some of them can be very brutal. So that kind of reduces the kind of respect that the people have for them. They do a beautiful job. But because people see police brutality from time to time, a lot of people don't particularly like the police. It's unfortunate. My wife was telling me that there was a study done, and the study said that, the result said that a lot of people in the police are people who love to use authority. Do you follow me? Right. So after they put on the uniform, they want to muscles. And I told them, they do some things that really annoy me. And I gave them an example. Something that happened, I think it was last year. A lady was traveling, got to an airport. I think she was probably on standby ticket. I don't remember now. That is what they call standby ticket. You buy a ticket, they don't give you a seat. Your flight money is very low, but they will not give you a seat. You will only get a seat if there is an extra seat after the plane is unloaded. They call it standby. So you will stand. Maybe I will go, maybe I will not go. Okay. If you miss this plane, you wait for another one. Okay. Maybe that was what she did. She couldn't get on the first plane. But she had a psychological problem, and she was drinking a lot, and she was undergoing rehabilitation. So she went to drink. You follow me? By the time that she came back, looks like she was late for the other plane, and she couldn't get on. Then she thought, maybe they don't want to carry me because they think that I am a terrorist. Because the fear, we're talking about fear, the fear of terrorism is all over the world now. And you can't blame the security people. You are dealing with enemies that are doing a different kind of warfare. You follow me? So she started to weep by reason of her psychological problem and the alcohol which she had gulped. She stood in the airport. They were showing her to us on television, on TV. She was weeping. I am not a terrorist. She was just weeping. A few people passing by saw her and had compassion for her and tried to help. So they went to her, talking to her. Hey, calm down, calm down. And so she was just weeping. She was just weeping. But in all of the airports, all over the towns, there are security cameras on the streets, everywhere, shopping center. They are watching you all the time. Much more so in Britain than in America. There are video cameras all over town. So airport security came, the police, they came, and when they got there, they just went for this lady. Wham! They wrestled her to the ground, put her hands behind, handcuffed, bam, 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 took her away. They bundled her away. I was angry. Didn't they train them to have compassion? The ordinary people passing by knew what to do. Just try and help her, pet her. Some of them don't know, they don't have this. It's unfortunate. And you know what happened? They took the lady away and the lady died in police custody. And I thought somebody should go to court. In the United States, you can sue the police. You can sue them in Nigeria. The only thing is, like I said, Nigerians don't... You keep quiet. Then I don't want to go to court, right or wrong. Do you follow me now? But you can sue them here. So they sued. And I read on the internet some days ago that the court has finally ruled that the woman actually died because the police accidentally strangled her. So the court is awarding damages to the family, to be paid to the family. But the woman is dead. How much money? How much money? May God help us. Let us pray that God will give us good people in our law enforcement system. The system stinks. I mean, this country, they won't work, and they will, and money and everything, or brutal. Some of them are armed robbers. There are good ones, there are good ones among them. But boy, you will search. Because the bad ones torment the good ones. Do you follow me? But there are good ones. Let's keep praying for this country. I know that God will do something. Hallelujah. Amen. So, back to Bible study. We're looking at fear. And on Tuesday, we looked at some types of fear. And today we will continue. So we ended with Jehoshaphat going with Ahab to war and how God saved him. Hallelujah. Okay. And we looked at what errors he committed, the mistakes that he made to bring himself to a situation that will bring fear in his life. Hallelujah. And we said sometimes you are the one that's doing the things that will bring fear into your life. We considered the importance of living a righteous life. That it is the righteous that is bold like a lion. Do you follow me now? And that the sinner will run when nobody is pursuing him. Because of his activities, fear will come to his life. Hallelujah. When David was king over Israel. Okay, well, let's take it this way. Before he became king, when Saul was king, he wanted to kill David. Remember, on Tuesday I mentioned one king. Shortly after Saul was anointed, I mentioned one king. I called his name Nahash. You remember? I said his name means serpent. And how he said if the people surrendered, he will pluck out the right eye of each of them for a reproach. And I said, you never surrender to the devil, you fight him. Revelations 12. Michael and his angels, they fought against the dragon and his angels. And they fought until the death. They did not care for their lives. That is what the book of Revelation said. Hallelujah. By the time that David became king, okay, at the time that David was fleeing from Saul, he had to flee for shelter with Nahash. You follow me now? Okay. So the man gave him shelter for some time. He fled to so many places. There were even some kings of the Philistines. About two different occasions, helped David. After he became king, it came that Nahash died and his son became king. Okay? So David remembered that when he was fleeing, this young man's father helped me. He now sent some messengers to him. Go and give him my message of condolence because of the death of his father. When they got there, they had delivered their message. Then the advisors of the king said, you think that David sent messengers to you because he loves you? He sent them as spies to spy the land. So he listened to the counselors and he took the messengers, tore their pants, shaved their beards on one side, sent them back shamefully. But as soon as he had done that, he knew that he had caused trouble. Are you following me? We're talking about when you take an action and you know that you are causing trouble, and your own action can now send fear into you because you know that somebody is likely to fight back. He knew that he had caused trouble. So quickly he looked for help, some kings around, to join him and get ready. Of course, there was war. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. And in the war, they were badly defeated. Over what? Over the fact that somebody wanted to show kindness to you. And you will take counsel from the wrong people. Do you know that we as Christians, sometimes we take counsel from the wrong people? We do. Somebody will tell you, if it were me, oh, this is what I'll do. Please tell him it's not you. It is me. Eh? Okay. Don't take bad counsel from anybody. The word of God has given you counsel. Stay on the word of God. If you don't know what to do, pray. God will tell you. Hallelujah. Sometimes the counsel is coming from a relative, a loving. Frankly speaking, the devil will hardly send your enemy to you to give you counsel. He knows you won't trust your enemy. He will send people who are supposed to love you. So they will give it to you like it's because we love you. Are you following me? And when you disobey God, you sin against God. Because if the Lord is with you and you are yet afraid, then you have little regard for God who is with you. Are you following me now? And if you know that he is there and you violate his will, then you have disrespected God. Hallelujah. So today we are going to look at how it is that fear brings disobedience to God. When you're so fearful, you're more prone to be disobedient to God. That is why you ask some people, but why did you do it? He will say, it is because these people said, remember Aaron? Oh, praise the Lord. Remember Aaron? Moses had gone up the mountain to commune with God. Aaron was there. God was giving instructions to Moses on how to make Aaron priest and his children. And God was describing everything that Moses would do. The beautiful dress, everything from his head down to his feet. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And God said to Moses, you will make these dresses for them. God said, for beauty and for glory. Are you following me now? But while God was giving those instructions, the people came to Aaron. They said, this Moses is gone and we don't think he's coming back. Make us a God. Hallelujah. Amen. And the Bible said, Aaron told them, okay, go and bring your golden earrings and so on and so forth. He melted the whole thing. He made a calf and he placed it down. And when the people said, these are the gods that brought us out of Egypt, Aaron said, no, this is Yahweh. Are you following me? He said, this is God, capital G, Yahweh. Why? Fear? The Bible said the people ate and drank and danced wild dances. Do you follow me? When Moses heard the noise, he said, there is noise of battle in the camp. God said, no. It's not the noise of battle. Go and see your people. When he got there, he found them in idolatry. Aaron, what did these people do to you that you have done this thing? He said, my Lord, you know these people. They were ready to stone me. You see, he wasn't ready to die on the truth. He was not ready to die on the truth. He did not do it like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Listen, there is only one God who brought you, and he is not an idol. Here I stand. You want to kill me? Kill me. But I will not lead you into idolatry. He was afraid. The fear of death. The fear of the people. Moses said, why on earth have you done this thing? To make these people naked before the nations around them, the enemies of God. You have made them naked. See, nakedness does not mean that you are not wearing your cloth spiritually. Nakedness means that you are sinking in sin. Are you following me? Because of fear. When you're so fearful, you sin against God. God said to Ezekiel, I'm sending you to these people. They are hard-hearted. He said, you are going to open your mouth. You are going to speak to them whatever I put in your mouth. He said, if you stand before them, though you stand before scorpions, you will say what I give to you. He said, if you fear before them, I will confound you in their presence. Are you following me now? If I send you, you get there and you are afraid, I will myself. Praise the Lord. Tell the one who is sitting by you, fear not.
Fear not.
Fear not.
Fear not.
Trust the Lord.
Trust the Lord.
He is with you.
With you.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. As the people approached the land of promise, remember God had made the promise in Egypt. I am carrying you to a land that flows with milk and honey. It came a time they sent 12 spies. So these are stories you know very well. They went to spy the land. Then they came back. How many of them became rebellious? 10 of 12. Only two of them. Who and who?
Caleb
and Joshua. Only two of them stood on the side of the word of God. Fear is a terrible thing. And when the ten gave their report, the whole congregation said, lie, we will not go. Remember? What they were rejecting was the promise of God because of fear. Do you follow me now? And God has a promise in your life. Do you follow me? These are lessons we learn from some people. God has a promise in your life. What he wants to do in your life, you can cancel it with fear. By the grace of God, it will not happen to you. They said, no way. They said, these people are so tall. What about God? I tell people, if God is sitting in heaven and his feet are resting upon the earth as his footstool, who is taller than God? If he's still sitting in heaven and his feet are touching the earth as footstool, who is taller than God? What giant is bigger than God? So the people are so tall. In our eyes, we look like grasshoppers. And so were we in their sight. How did they know their own sight? You knew your own. How did you know the sight of the other people? And God said, okay, you say you were grasshoppers, you will die like grasshoppers. You say the land eats up the people, the land will eat you up. God actually said to them, you will know the breach of my promise. You will see how I break my promise. May God not break his promise in your life.
Amen.
So God can make a promise and break it. Because his promise is conditional. Hallelujah. Tell your partner again, fear not.
Fear not.
The Lord is with you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody tell me, why did Peter deny Jesus three times? Fear. It was fear. He feared for his life. Do you see what fear can do to believers? Even today, it happens. Fear. But thank God, after he did it three times, the cock crew and Jesus looked at him. Said, oh my God, what have I done? And he wept bitterly. If you have been doing it, may you repent in Jesus' name.
Amen.
It was fear. The man who swore, if everybody will do it, not me. But he did, because he was afraid. Hallelujah. He was afraid. Get fear out of your life. Praise the Lord. You know, in the book of Jeremiah chapter 42, you should read the whole of 42, but specifically if you go to verse 8 and you read through 16, I'll tell you what happened. After Nebuchadnezzar had carried the people captive to Babylon, yes, from verse 8 through 16, after he had carried the people away to Babylon, the few that remained lived in fear. And all of that came upon them because of disobedience to God. You go and read the book of Jeremiah, you will see how many times Jeremiah warned them, but they will not yield. Among those who remained, they now went to Jeremiah. They said, please, pray to your God for us. We want to know what God wants to do. We want to know the mind of God for us. Because we're afraid of the Chaldeans, the Babylonians. Do we stay here or do we flee to Egypt for protection? Jeremiah said, okay. They said, whatever God says, that is what we will do. Jeremiah said, okay. Go. Then after some days, about 7 days or so, the Bible said God spoke to Jeremiah and God told Jeremiah his mind. So Jeremiah sent for them. And Jeremiah said, this is what God said. Do not fear the Chaldeans. Stay here. If you stay, I will bless you. I will protect you. Do not flee to Egypt. If you flee to Egypt, you will go there to meet with death and destruction. Trust trust me, I will protect you here. Don't fear the Chaldeans. They now looked at each other. They said, stay here. They said, no way. We are not going to stay here. You want us to perish. We will flee to Egypt. In Egypt, we will get protection from the Pharaoh. If God is not protecting you anywhere, who can protect you? Nobody can protect you. Jeremiah said, but you said that whatever the Lord said was what you would do. They said, we are going to Egypt. If you go to Egypt, you will die by the sword. You will die by famine. You will die by pestilence. We are going to go to Egypt. Cut it short. They went to Egypt. Then God sent Nebuchadnezzar to Egypt. Are you following me? And Nebuchadnezzar defeated the Pharaoh and his army and took over Egypt. And those who fled to Egypt for protection died in Egypt. The thing that you fear the most does what? Happens to you. May the Lord protect us. Now let us look at the fear of dreams. Because many people dream and you wake up. You follow me? I know. You see, when you are dreaming, it is because you are somewhere. Where was I talking? Was it in the church? I was saying, when you see a vision, it is because you are there. It is something that will happen in the future, but God has taken you into the future. Do you follow me now? To see events that are going to happen in the future. So you are physically present there. You don't see a vision where you are not present there. He takes you there to see. You follow me? Okay. And I was saying to them, I think it was in the church. I was saying to them, when you are seeing the vision, you are going to be reacting the way that you would have reacted if you were actually there. Do you follow my point? Physically. If it was something scary, you may get scared in the vision. You follow me now? Okay. That is not what we're talking about. Praise the Lord. When you wake up and you play it back, and the fear of it now begins to rule over you from day to day. Do you follow me? That is where the problem is. The book of Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. He saw a vision. An awful sight. That image that he saw. And it was so awful. And he didn't know the meaning. Because people know that dreams have meaning. Some dreams don't have any meaning. Okay, let's forget about that for now. But many dreams have meaning. And he didn't know the meaning. He called all of his wise men, the astrologers, everything. They couldn't tell him. He was troubled. Kilo mean? What does it mean? Finally, Daniel came. And you know the beautiful thing about it? When he called all of his wise men, he told them, he said, I had a dream. In fact, he did not even remember the dream. Or maybe he remembered, he played them out. You follow me? He said, I had a dream and I don't remember the dream. He said, I want you to tell me the dream and tell me the interpretation. They said, Kabiesi. People tell the dreams that they had. Then interpreters tell them the interpretation. He said, no, this one is going to be different. First, you will tell me the dream. Then you will tell me the interpretation. They said, nobody does it this way. He said, that is the way I will do it. And in those days, Kabiesi was Kabiesi. I hope you follow me. You don't query the king. And he said, I give you so much time. If you don't come by it, all of you, your heads are off your necks. See trouble. See me see trouble. On the day that the executioner was going about cutting the heads, he came to Daniel. Daniel said, what is this hurry about cutting people's heads? Because he was one of the wise men. You follow me now? Don't worry. Give me time. Overnight, God spoke to Daniel. Daniel went to the king. Oh, king, this is the dream, he told him. This is the interpretation, he told him. And the king promoted him. Hallelujah. Amen. You can be troubled by a dream. But may God give you the grace to know what to do about the dream. Amen. Many years ago, I had just become the leader of the prayer group at Zion Baptist Church. And I was going to have the first challenge. The first spiritual challenge. The devil knows when something begins to happen. I slept one night. I saw myself in the church. It was like some of us were holding a meeting. the way that I sip my cup of tea there, I had a cup of tea, sipping it. Then I placed it down. I wanted to see if my wife was around. So I got up and went, you know, this, many of these churches are designed, there is one big door from the back. You come in, then there are two side doors. Abby? Okay. I went to one of the side doors. I peeped and looked. I did not see my wife. Then I came back to my seat. Then I carried my cup of tea. Then I took a sip, and I knew I had taken poison. As I swallowed it, my eyes opened, and physically, I could feel something just descended. I just got up. I went to the living room. That is why I got to pray. My wife is sleeping. I don't want to wake my wife up. So I go to the living room. And many times when she turns around, she doesn't see me there. Ah, what the Lord God. She gets up. She comes to join me. Praise the Lord. So I went to the living room. I was saying, Lord, why did I drink it? Why didn't I know? You know, those questions don't particularly solve any problem. And the Holy Spirit said to me, what are you worried about? If you drink a deadly thing, what did Jesus say? Everybody say it loud. Say it louder. Louder still. You must never get worried again by what you eat in your dream. Never, never, never again. Give Jesus a clap offering. Hallelujah. Some of us, we dream, we wake up, we are so troubled. I have told a lot of people, some of you may be sitting here. I said, let me tell you, the first time you have the dream, it could be the devil. The second time that you had the dream, it came from your mind. Because the first one, you kept it here. So when you slept, you dreamt about it again. The second one is from you. Do you follow me now? Okay. And then you had the second one. I had that dream again. Then you are thinking about that one all night. You can dream of what you are thinking of. A lot of times you think of things and you dream about them. When the Holy Spirit said it to me, I just relaxed. I just said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Devil, bring another one. It's funny, but that is what I tell the devil. When I started telling him that, he left me alone. They let you worry, you go to somebody else. You follow my, this one is not scared, go to somebody else. I tell the devil, bring another one. I don't care. I told somebody one day, I said, if I begin to tell you things I have eaten in my own dreams, you never come to me for prayers. Praise the Lord. Look, the point is, they are useless. The devil wants you to believe that you are in trouble. And if he can strike you with fear, other things can follow. Hallelujah. Let me share this with you. One night, I slept. I saw myself in a village. I saw a big tree, and I saw this black bird flying over it, hovering. There were many at intervals. Some of them will alight on some of the branches for some time. They will take off again. I was under the tree. I had a gun in my hand. Then I saw one of them alight. Then I took the gun. Before I pulled the trigger, the bird took off and landed in front of me. And when the bird landed in front of me, it turned into a person. As soon as that happened, the gun was no longer in my hand. We started to fight, hand to hand. We started to fight. Then the villagers came out. They made a big circle. And we fought and fought and fought. Finally, we broke hands. Nobody won. And the villagers all clapped. Then I woke up. When I woke up, again, I went to the living room. This time it was, Lord, what is this? I fight with a demon, nobody will win. I don't agree. See, your attitude makes a lot of difference. Your attitude is what defines your faith. How you handle the matter. The next night, I wanted to sleep. I wanted to pray. I went on my knees by my bed and I said, Lord, the fight of last night was not conclusive. We have to fight again tonight. I said, Lord, I'm going to beat the hell out of that thing. something tonight. We must fight again. Look, God is happy when he sees that you are not afraid. He is happy with you when he knows that you trust him. You know that he is with you. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. That's the reason. And believe me, I laid on my bed, closed my eyes, and no sooner had I fallen asleep than we started to fight. And like I said before, I beat the hell out of that thing. Finally, I carried this thing and started to spin him round. Then everybody gathered and they started to beg. Then I dropped him. Then I woke up. So thank you, Jesus. Don't fear your dreams. Dreams don't rule over you. God is your king. He tells us a lot of things through dreams. But when you get a message that is obviously not from God, it is not for you to respect that message. It is false prophecy into your life. You follow me? And God said to the people, when somebody comes who gives you a prophecy which obviously does not glorify the name of the Lord, you must not respect that prophecy. You must not respect that prophet. In the book of Deuteronomy, for their dispensation, actually, he said, you will take that prophet, you will stone him to death. You can stone them to death now. The police will arrest you. But you can refuse to believe them. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. Again, let me share another one, because it's very important. Years ago, my wife traveled. We returned to Nigeria in 82. I think my wife traveled in 86 or 87 to spend her annual leave in the United States. She had a few days to return. And I slept. And I had a dream. Saw revelation. And I saw that the interpretation straight was that my wife would have a plane crash and will be engulfed in fire. So I woke up and I prayed and I told the Lord, she will not remain in the United States forever. She will travel home. You are God. Take control. And of course I knew I had to do something about it. I called the United States and I told my wife and my siblings, and my mother was there. I called and I said, everybody, on Sunday, I think she was to travel on Tuesday. I said, on Sunday, all of us will fast one day for my wife's return journey. Now, it is not something that I have done all the time. And since that 1986, I have not done it a second time. Do you follow me now? Now, you see, some of you are taken by prophets who are telling you evil things all the time. I'm telling you, if you say you can fast, they will say, okay, bring so much, we will fast for you. Yeah. They will fast for you. Bring so much, they will fast for you. As soon as I told them that, all of them knew that I saw something. Do you follow me now? It's credibility. Jesus said a prophet does not have honor in his own house because the people will not believe him. Do you follow me? If your people are obviously in Christ and your ministry does not have a problem, your people can believe in your ministry. In this dispensation, thank God for Jesus. So we fasted that one day. On the day that she was to leave, they packed her things. We were living on the fourth floor in the building where we were. My siblings were living on the seventh floor, very tall building, big complex. They all came down, put things in the car ready to go to the airport. Then my wife remembered that she forgot something. So she quickly ran back upstairs. She entered the living room and the telephone rang. And she went to the telephone, picked it up. Hello? And the voice said, is this Felicia? She said, yes, this is Felicia. So I'm calling from the airline in respect of your travel to Nigeria. There is a strike in Italy. If you travel today, you have to stay in Italy until the strike is over. Otherwise, we can reschedule your flight. She said, praise the Lord, reschedule my flight. Give Jesus a clap offering. Hallelujah. Like I said the other day, don't be so afraid that you become a hopeless person. If you are a child of God, you are in control. And if God says, don't travel, don't travel. Do you follow me now? Okay. So since 1986, if we were so afraid of traveling by air, then my wife would have stayed there forever. Abby? Uh-huh. Hallelujah. Don't be afraid. Trust God. When Gideon judged Israel, God wanted to deliver them from the Midianites. That was why he raised Gideon. Gideon had gathered his army of 33,000. You know this story. God gave him criteria to reduce them. God said, 33,000 people are too many for me to use to deliver you. Too many for me to use. I cannot use 33,000. They are too many. Reduce them. God reduced them to how many? 300. Against an entire army. God is not afraid. You are the one that is afraid. Gideon went in the night. He took somebody with him. They went to the camp to spy on the Midianites. The Midianites had hired some other nations to help them. Gideon was afraid. He was afraid. Do you follow me now? When he got to the camp, he had one soldier telling another soldier, you know, I had a dream. I was like, what was the dream? I saw a piece of barley bread roll into the camp and begin to smite everybody. Midianites and all of us begin to scatter and smite everybody. Ah, the other soldier said, that piece of barley bread is nothing other than Gideon, the sword of Gideon. When Gideon heard, I'm going to defeat them. You follow me now? Praise the Lord. Give Jesus a clap offering. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Tell your partner, fear not.
Fear not.
Fear not. Trust the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord is so good. The kingdom had split into two. You have Samaria and you have the kingdom of Judah, Jerusalem. Consistently, Samaria was deep into idolatry. It started with the first king over there. Hallelujah. They passed it on from king to king. They worshipped idols until God was tired of them. And finally, God sent the Assyrians to carry them away. Now, let me tell you what God said in 2 Kings 17:7. Just listen now. For so it was, what the word of God said, for so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, which had brought them up out of the land of Egypt from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and had feared other gods. They had feared other gods. Since that time, they have not been put together till today. God utterly removed them. Then the Assyrians brought all different nations that they had captured, took people from there, brought them to occupy Samaria. And each of them had his or her own god. They brought all of the nonsense gods into the place because the people refused to fear the living God. So you understand why the people of Judah, even at this, in the days of Jesus, did not have anything to do with Samaritans. Are you following me? Because they had become idol worshippers. They had brought all idols into the place. That was why they were not relating with the Samaritans. Otherwise, Samaria was supposed to be their sister to start with. You follow me now? Hallelujah. Tell your partner, do not fear any other gods. Because there are no other gods. There is only one living God. And he is your God. And he is the only one that you must fear. And respect. And worship. Don't fear idols. The Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians, now we know, brethren, that idols are nothing. They are no gods. They're just dummies. God says, a human being takes his implement, cuts a tree, carves an idol, uses the rest of the wood to make fire, carves an idol, puts it down and says, "My God, oh." Praise the Lord. I have told some stories about this man before. When I was in Ghana, I became very friendly with the chief of the Avis in one village there called Duakro, just by the University of Cape Coast. He was a fetish priest. And I used to go to him. He was the first person I met. I just called somebody. I said, "Take me to the chief in this village." I thought I had a message for him. And I started to witness to him. And I used interpreters. His idols were in one room there, by the living room. I'll sit down, we'll talk. Then one day I said to him, I said, "I sit here from time to time and I tell you that your idols are nothing. I said, if you know that they are something, they are in your room there. Tell them to fight." I said, "Tell them to fight." Sister Mary knows the man. Mrs. Awoni knows the man. Papa Jolori also, when we had them come, we went to the place, they met the man. The man burst into laughter. He said, "The only reason that you can say that is that you have been a Christian for a long time." And admittance, some people say they are Christians, but they would dare not say that. That is what the man was implying. Do you follow me now? Okay. I came back another time, and I sat down, we were talking. Then the man said, "You too, if you say that your Jesus is God, pray for me, my legs, so I can stand up and walk." Later, I was going to talk about the fear to minister, because many of us have it, and it's a big problem in Christendom, the fear to minister. I did not know that he couldn't walk, because each time I went there, he was sitting down. Do you follow me now? Okay. So I said, "If I pray and you walk, you will give your life to Jesus." He said yes. Then before he said yes, he spoke to his two sons who were sitting, who were interpreting for me. Then he turned to me, he said yes. I had a young man who goes with me to many places, but he doesn't speak their language. So I got up, I went to him, laid my hands on his knees, prayed. I said, "Get up and walk." So he got up and he walked. Glory to God. If God, look, don't you know that if you are a child of God, you can commit God to do something? And let me tell you the truth. The attitude of a sound minister is this: if I pray and nothing happens, nobody will kill me there. I will go home anyway. So what's the big deal? What's the big deal? Oh, but did they ever let me? I'll go home. Praise the Lord. He walked to and fro. Then he went back, he sat down. I said, "Now, you want to give your life to Jesus?" He said, "Yes." And I led him to Christ. And I said, "Now." I used to make him laugh. The way that I make you laugh here sometimes. I said, "Now." I said, "When you divorce a wife, you get rid of her complete. If you're still sleeping with her on the same bed, you will do it again, no?" He started to laugh. I said, "We have to destroy your idols. You cannot keep them here anymore." Then he said, "Okay, come and destroy them." He said, "But I don't want you to come and carry them in the daytime." He didn't want everybody to see. Just like the story of Gideon. Do you follow? There is wisdom and there is wisdom. He said, "Come and carry them at night." I said, "No problem." So the day that I would come and carry them, his son met me and his son said, "Hey, Doc, you will not be able to carry the idols." I said, "Why?" He said, "There is a big fight in the family." We're talking about fear of idols. He said, "There is a big fight in the family." I said, "Why?" He said, "My mother and my sister, they are fighting with my father over the idols and the fact that he's given his life to Christ." I said, "Why?" He said, "Come, let my father tell you himself." So I went with him, and the chief said, "I'm sorry. Apparently, in their family, there was a problem sometime in the past. And some diviners told them, every male in the family must give his firstborn female to the god of thunder. So they all committed their firstborn females to the god of thunder. The firstborn female and her mother are the ones that are now quarreling with him, because they told him, you are the one who gave her to the god of thunder. You cannot get out. Look, they have their reason now. I mean, let us face it, they have their reason. Yes? They said, you cannot get out. So the man explained to me. He said, please, don't be annoyed. They do not understand what I have understood. Let us wait. And I said, fine. But I told his son that I wanted to talk to that daughter. The woman hated me like anything. I pray that God would have touched her somewhere. When I was coming, I saw her standing with her younger sister that I knew very well. I don't know the name of the elder one, but the younger one is Doris. I knew her very well. I saw her standing with the younger sister, and I came to come and talk with her. And as I came along, she just turned around and walked away. Bam, 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 out. So I greeted Doris, and then we left. And then the brother said, do you know why she walked away? I said, why did she walk away? The brother said, as I was coming towards her, the younger sister told her, you must not insult that man of God. If you know that you are going to insult him, just leave. Then she walked away. Give Jesus a clap of it. Hallelujah. So, her father has seen it, but she still feared the idol. Do you follow me now? Her mother still respected the idol. They believed that if he left, something bad was still going to happen. But idols are nothing. They are no gods. Praise the Lord. Never fear any other thing called God. There is only one. Hallelujah. The Lord is so good. Oh, I must stop it. After 11. Let me just stop. Let's take 5 minutes. Anybody has a question or comment? 5 minutes. Anybody? Yes. Razak. Femo. Oh. Yeah. Hallelujah.
So my question is about that if, for example, you are having a particular dream,
yeah,
that is coming up, I mean, that's coming to you more than one time, please, persistently.
Yeah.
It looks somehow strange. You don't understand. That is, because you can't even say this, what it looks like.
Yeah.
So for example, let me give you one example. There was a time I think I was preparing for my wedding or so. I've been having that particular aspect that it's like before you can get out at least to where God wants me to be, things something has to be done. I prayed. So that day, that my brother that you know the way I saw it that day was that when because it's becoming usual thing. He now said, except I die, I cannot succeed. So that dream I was somehow, I felt somehow bad. He said, just kill me. I push him, you know, I carried this stick. I wanted to hit him, I couldn't.
To kill him?
Yes, in that dream.
Okay.
I couldn't.
I was going to ask you, do you commit suicide?
because I was, you know, the blood was...
Yeah. Go ahead.
So, sir, in that situation, sir, when things, you know, because it's not, because I'm not even thinking that something like that can happen initially, because they said, because I read in the letter that some dream come out of thoughts. What
yes.
is the thing I'm thinking about? So, in that situation, when things is coming to you in that way, what should we do?
Now, it was your brother who was saying, except he died,
yeah, that way
he could not, yeah, that's what I'm saying, in the dream. Your brother was saying, unless he died,
yes.
he would not succeed.
Yes.
Okay. So what will you do about such a dream? If you were dreaming, your brother was saying to you, except I die, I cannot succeed. Did you understand what it was? Did you understand the dream? No. Just answer yes or no. Did you understand the dream? You?
partially there, because the knowledge I had is that a life has to be given as a ransom. That was the way.
Okay, that is why I'm asking. Where is the brother now? Where is that brother now?
He's still alive.
Okay. Now, what did Jesus say? You can interpret dreams by seeing what the scripture says about certain things. Some of them you may not be able to pull out of scripture. What did Jesus say about a grain of corn?
Except it falls and dies.
That is what your brother was saying in the dream. How does a person die so as to succeed in life? How? This kind of thing everybody should be able to answer. You have to be born again. That is, you die to the world of sin and you are quickened into newness of life in Christ Jesus. Except you have, the Apostle Paul said, you see this Paul standing here. This is not the man Saul that you used to know. That one died. He says, now it is Christ who lives in me. Are you following me, Razak?
Yes, sir.
That's the point. You use the word of God to sort out such things. Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
There's let me quickly make this comment about dream.
Yes.
I will share this part of it. As human beings, you know, we are so conversant with the five senses. We are taught in our elementary, secondary school, we are taught about the five senses. We are conditioned as human beings by the five senses. What we see, what we taste, what we hear, and what we touch. But as Christians, you know, we are being born, given a rebirth. And the way we are to live is to be beyond living by the five senses. So the devil is so much aware of the fact that what we see is so important to us. So that's why he now comes and displays so many things to us in the dream. But we must outgrow that. We must grow as Christians to living by what we call walking by faith and not by sight. So it is because the more we walk by faith, the less problem we have with all this kind of dream or no dream. It's because the devil knows that what we see matters so much to us. And what we see has a way, it has a telling effect on us as human beings. So the more we now play down on what we see and we begin to live and walk by faith, all that will take care of itself.
Okay.
I discovered that Jesus Christ plays a lot of emphasis on the subject of fear and faith. And many times you cannot see him even talking about fear without also talking about faith. Mm-hmm. That's why I say, let not your heart be troubled. Then he now gives an antidote to that. He said, believe in God
and believe also in
me. Believe also in me.
Mm.
He said, let not your heart be troubled because of fear. Then believe. That goes to so much inside. We are taught that nature abhor what? Vacuum. We must have had that. Nature does not take in vacuum. So it's either faith is in and fear is out. Or fear is in and faith is what? Is out. That is what happens to the life of a man. So anytime you are not permitting faith to operate in your life, automatically, whether you like it or not, there's nothing you can even do about fear. You don't even have, the only weapon God has given to our hand to deal with fear is faith, because it's to neutralize faith. That is the case Jesus Christ had in a particular day. He was going somewhere. And a man now came and said, please, come and heal my son. Before Jesus got there, somebody came from that house and said, do not trouble the master. See, the child is already dead. Now, Jesus Christ was paying attention to a very serious issue on ground. And the Bible said that as soon, I like that particular phrase, he said, as soon as Jesus had what was told the man, now Jesus now called the man and said, be not afraid, only what? Only believe.
Now, Jesus Christ, the only thing that counts at that point in time is his faith. His faith, that is the only thing that can. And he now told him that he must not be afraid. Because what those two other people came to do was to introduce faith, fear and doubt. I was thinking Jesus should chide those men. I said, stop. Don't know if you stop this one. What is your faith? Jesus will tell Darcy, I want you to say, oh, no faith. Because at that point in time, it was only his own faith that can. And so fear, no, our life abhor vacuum. Is it that we allow faith and deal with fear, or we allow fear
and we have faith? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. If you have faith, have faith. Yes.
Praise the Lord. Think if any of us has faith, the fear should we go. Fear and faith goes together. If you bind the two together, you have peace in your mind. That's what I believe. Faith and
fear and faith don't go together. They don't go together. You said they go together.
No, they don't go together.
They don't go together. Yeah.
But if you have faith, fear will vanish.
Yes.
Disappear.
Yes.
That's it.
Yes. Hallelujah. Yes, ma'am. Please pass this over to her. Hallelujah.
According to
yes. Yes.
Now, at times when one wants to pray or one wants to, you want to pray? I think we are going to call it job or
okay.
At last.
Yes.
Then maybe we put some Bible passages
yes.
related on the actual problem. Then we pray with faith. On all the faith, we don't get what we want.
Yes.
And it's discouraged.
Okay. Now she just said that according to Jesus, all power in heaven and on earth has been given to him, and he gave us that power. She says, but sometimes you have prayed, you have used the scriptures, and you knew that you believed, but the thing did not happen. She said it's discouraging. Well, let me tell you how to pray. Because you can have faith that God should give you something that looks good to you, but God knows that it is only in your carnal self that you see it as good. Just a minute. In the way that your children can come to you, I want chocolate, and you think that it is too sweet, but the child wants something that is too sweet anyway. And you will say no. It will affect your teeth. And the child cries, but you don't give it. God must have the prerogative. Believe me, take this thing. I have heard ministers say, you insist. You can insist until you die. A long time ago, somebody told me, I didn't hear him. One man of God in this country, somebody told me, the man had a television program, said the man of God said, if you have faith, you insist, you ask the Lord. If God says no, don't take no for an answer. Say yes. When the person told me, I said, that man of God wants to die. I'm serious. I don't know what killed him, but he's dead now. Are you following me?
Yes.
That is not fatal. That is a failure to understand that God's will be done. May I have told God, please, Anything that I ask for, no matter how I fast and pray, if it is not your perfect will for me, please don't give me. Please don't give me. Please. So I have learned, when I ask for something and it appears not to be happening, it's either the time is not ripe or God is saying no. And I have learned to relax. Do you follow me? I have learned to relax. Jesus said, I don't like this cross, so it's not good for my flesh. But Father, don't worry about how I feel. Let it be your will. And I said it here Tuesday, I think, or last Thursday. God's perfect will may not be soothing to your body. It may not be so beautiful for your body. But tell him, let it be your will. Yes, ma'am.
Somebody shared his dream with me some 2-3 weeks ago. In that dream, he said there was a very big snake. And in fact, the snake was as big as his neck. Then his own brother was there too. And the snake was about to hit the brother. Then he was very afraid. Then he took a cutlass and cut the snake's head. But as he cut the snake's head, he realized that it was the brother's head that came up. Maybe what you should have done in that dream was to ask Jesus to fight for you and not fight for yourself, because our weapon is not carnal. I don't know what explanation.
Well, in the first place, do you fight or do you call Jesus to come and fight? Which one do you do? Which action? If Jesus,
there.
So you will be praying, then Jesus will be fighting. Who is going to fight? Now, listen to the Apostle Paul. Listen to the Apostle Paul. Ephesians chapter 6. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, and wicked spirits in high places. Who is fighting?
We.
Jesus is not fighting. He will be looking at you like this. What he wants you to do is fight. Use his name to fight. Do you follow me now? It is for you to say, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. The warfare is your own, but the authority is from Jesus. The power is the power of the Holy Spirit. He has given them to you. You don't use them, that is your own problem. You are the one that's fighting.
Well,
who is the brother? Is he a Christian? Is he born again? Why is his head the same as the head of a serpent? Those are questions you have to ask. Are you following me? Okay. You have to ask the questions. Praise the Lord.
Some years back, sir, I have that type of dream.
Yes.
And I was nearly born again. So most of the time, because I was watching in the midst of the Muslims there, and there was a lot of troubles, challenges. And the one I was staying, because I was on the second floor, the one I was staying, my first floor, he was once a magician. So, you know, he has all these, what do you call it, all these, you know, mass, you know, he has different type of juju. I mean, once it's 12 o'clock, even if I walk from morning to 8 o'clock, once it's 12 o'clock, I'll be away from the train. So that day I just slept, and I just saw this python coming, no, directly on me, to me. I just stood, I said, Lord, I was just wondering, after some few seconds, I was laughing. I said, but he made a mistake that he knew that it's like he didn't know that he has missed the road. So he was coming, he was, you know, with full speed, very long and very big, like human, you know, real python. I just stood. When he was like some few meters to get to my side, then he raised his head up. I just spoke a word. I said, in the name of Jesus, I cast you. No, and I just looked at my side. There was a big hole, endless hole. I just jumped it there. I just woke up. And I just said, God, I give for the glory.
Yeah.
So since then, if I just come up, they will say, to Tasaki, draw long hole. Mm-hmm. So then at least everybody have his own peace in the compound.
Hallelujah. God has different ways of showing victory to us in our dreams. You can fight with a sword. You can fight with the word of mouth. You can use a stick. Whatever is available in the dream, you may not have too much control over it. Do you follow me? Now, why didn't you do like this in your dream? That one doesn't come in. Do you follow my point? It is what happens in the dream that happens in the dream. That's all. But the point is this, your victory is in Christ Jesus. Anyway, let's give Jesus a clap offering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Next time, you can still ask the same question on Tuesday. You keep the question because of time. Glory to God. Let's bow our heads and pray. Let's give thanks to God. Everybody, just give thanks to God. Just bless the name of the Lord. The Lord is so good. The Lord is so beautiful. It's been a beautiful day. Thank God for Jesus Christ. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God for our salvation. The grace to know that we're joint heirs with Christ Jesus in eternity. Thank God for all authority, all power given to us through Jesus Christ. Thank God because Jesus said it. Nothing shall by any means hurt us. Pray for those who are not in Christ. And say, Lord of the harvest, send more laborers to your field. And Father, make me one of them. Don't wait for others to go. You can be part of it. Father, make me a soul winner. He who wins souls is wise, says the word of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We give you praise, our God. Father, accept our thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
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 Give Jesus another clap offering. Hallelujah. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Prepare for us to give our offerings. I want us to give our hands to our boss. And select something good.